Good morning, everyone. My name is Joel. I'm the Assistant Minister here. Good to see you all. Hope you all had a lovely holiday today, August. So we're going to look at Psalm 132 for today. So if you could turn your Bibles to Psalm 132. We'll read and we'll look at it later. Children, if you want to sit at the front, you're very welcome to come to the front and sit in the front row. We're going to put some... So Psalm 132, a song of ascents. Lord, remember David and all his self-denial. He swore an oath to the Lord. He made a vow to the mighty one of Jacob. I might not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the mighty one of Jacob. We heard it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jar. Let us go to the dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool, saying, Arise, Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with your righteousness. May your faithful people sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not reject your anointed one. The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath he will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons shall sit on your throne forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling, saying, This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her faithful people shall ever sing for joy. Here I will make a horn grow for David and set up a lamp for my anointed one. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but his head shall be adorned with a radiant crown. Shall we all pray before we start? Father God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you that you're a God who fulfills all your promises. Thank you that you have done it in your Son, Jesus Christ. Even as we gather today, help us to understand who you really are, and help us to live for you in a world where there is more trials and troubles. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to look at about God's promises. So God's promises are always about the future. So it's a time of the year when we think about the future. You know, some of us may be starting a new school year. Some of you might be starting a new college, a new university. As you think about September, it's a time about the future. It can make us feel excited because you might look forward to something new. You might look forward to meeting your own friends. And some of the things, when you think about the future, it might be exciting. But future is also uncertain. By the time you go to school or by the time you go to college, things can change. A lot of bad things can happen. Maybe there is a bully who can make your life worse in school, or you go to a new uni in a new place, everything is new, and you're not able to cope with it. So future can be uncertain. And it can make people a bit more depressed. It's not something new. I think if you, as a young person, it might be difficult to comprehend how to go about future. But with your parents, if you can think about your parents, father or your mother, being a Christian, had faced life a lot more than you. They would have faced a lot more uncertainties than you about the future. They would have faced a lot more troubles. But they are still happy being a Christian, coming to church, celebrating God and celebrating God's people. And sometimes it can be confusing why people come to church even though they face a lot of troubles and trials in life. But the good thing is, in the Bible, we can learn about God. We can learn about who God really is. That's one of the things we will learn in this passage as well. That God is a God who fulfills all His promises. And certain things about future, we can be very certain because of what we know about God. That He is a God who fulfills all His promises. God has already planned certain things for His people. That can bring joy and hope for a Christian believer who has faced a lot of difficult things in their lives. That's why when Christians come together, they sing songs. We are still happy in the midst of all the uncertainties we face in life because we know we have a God who fulfills all His promises. That is what we see also in today's Bible passage in Psalm 132. Psalm means songs. We are looking at one of the songs in the Bible that is part of the collection of songs called Songs of Ascent. Ascent means going up. Believers in Israel went to the temple on top of a mountain in Jerusalem for hundreds of years. And the believers went on pilgrimages to Jerusalem temple during times of festivals. During those times when they were going up the mountains, they sang these songs of ascents. If you go home and have a look, right from Psalm 120, there's a collection of songs which is written as Songs of Ascents. And in today's Song of Ascent, we have two people who are making a promise, or as it is translated in our Bible translation, they swore an oath. So can anyone tell me who are the two persons who swore an oath in Psalm 132? David is one. Very good. So we see the first person to swear an oath in Psalm 132 is David. So he's in verse 2. It says, he swore an oath to the Lord. So that refers to David. Very good. Who's the other person who swore an oath? Yeah, Daniel. Jacob. Oh yeah, it's the gods. It's God who swore an oath. So we see in verse 11, the Lord swore an oath to David. So there's David who swore an oath in verse 2, and then there is God who swore an oath. So there's two people who are making a promise. So those are the two sections we'll look at for today as the first and the second headings. So the first one is God, David's promise to build a temple, verses 1 to 9. Let's come on the screen. So yeah, oath is something you make, a promise to God. So the King Charles, when he was coronated, he made an oath or a promise, saying, this is what I will do in the presence of God. It's something similar David is doing here. As you can see in verse 2, it says, he swore an oath to the Lord. He made a vow to the mighty one of Jacob. David here is making a promise. So there's a bit of background to it. So David is an Israelite. He's a king of Israelite at the moment. So people in Israelite once lived as a slave under the Egyptian king. God delivered them from slavery. Israelites moved from place to place for 40 years after they left Egypt. In those 40 years, the Israelites lived in tents. The God's ark, which looks something like what we have here. So the God's ark was also kept in a tent among the Israelites. So God made His presence known in the midst of the God's covenant ark, which looks something like that. So people met with God in the place where the ark was present. Then the Israelites happened to enter into their promised land. They no more were nomads. And over time, they also had their first king, who was called Saul. After that, they had a second king, who was David. And David was once a shepherd boy, but God was the one who gave him favor to become the king. And now he has built a big palace for himself. So he's sitting in a palace, he's looking out, but what he sees is that the ark of God is still in a small place, like a tent. And now he makes a promise. He wants to make a promise that the God who raised him to sleep in a palace, he will build an ark. He will build a palace-like place for God as well to have a home. So now God doesn't really need to have a home. God is God, and he doesn't need anything from people. But that earthly place David wanted to build was a temple. And that is where the Ark of the Covenant would find a home. So you want to move the Ark of the Covenant from a tent to a big temple which looked like a mighty palace. How did David respond once he made a promise to God that he will build a temple or a dwelling place for God? We see that in verse 3 to 5. It says, David makes a promise and then he goes on to say, I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will not allow no sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Mighty One of God. So here it says he will not sleep at all, but it just means that David makes a promise that he will work hard to fulfill his promise to God. The previous king of Israel, King Saul, allowed the Ark of God to stay in a faraway place. In this psalm we can see the verse. In verse 6 we can see, we heard it in Ephrathah, and then we came upon it in the fields of Jar. So the place Jar, mentioned in verse 6, has a meaning of woods, referring to a far off place where the ark was left by the previous king. From there, now David has to make the efforts to bring the ark of God to Jerusalem. So he used priests, which you can see in verse 9 as well, were involved in bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. David put in a lot of efforts to fulfill the promise he made for God. Then he collected a lot of materials to build the temple. There was a lot of effort that went in from David's side to fulfill the promise he made for God. And then what happened in the Bible, we see that in 2 Samuel, after all the hard work that David put in and to bring the ark back to Jerusalem and collect all the materials to build the temple, God says, I'm not going to allow you to build the temple. You have been involved in war, you have killed a lot of people. So he says, I'm not going to allow you to build the temple. Rather, I will allow one of your descendants to build the temple. Sometimes the things we plan in life might not work the way we want, but we can still hold on to God. We can still hold on to the God who makes promises for his people. That's what David did. That's what God's people did during those times. Because God also had made a promise to David. Even though he didn't allow David to do the things that he worked hard to fulfill, God did make another promise for him. And that's what we will look at in this second point about God's promise. That's what the believers who were singing this Psalm 132 on their pilgrimage would also want God to act upon, that his promises to David, which we'll see under God's promise, the Lord swore an oath to David, which we see in verse 11, that the Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath he will not revoke. So for example, if a child asks her parent to take her to McDonald's the next Saturday, the parent can say, let me think about it. That does not mean the parent has committed to it. But the child, if the child says, please write down on a piece of paper that you will surely take me to McDonald's this Saturday and sign it. If the parent agrees to it, that means the parent is taking the request a lot more seriously. God does not need to make a promise to David or to us. However, if he does, he will take it seriously. He will ensure that he will act on those promises. God did act on to fulfill his promises to David. Now, like most of the promises and prophecies in the Bible, there is a near and there is a far fulfillment. So the near fulfillment is David had a son, Solomon, and his kingdom had a lot of peace. He never had war. And God allowed Solomon to build a temple for God using all the materials that David had had collected to build the temple. However, David's children didn't sit on the throne for a long time. In this psalm, we can see people are singing something that God has promised. If you look down on verse 12, it says, if your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons shall sit on your throne forever and ever. Solomon didn't sit on the throne of God forever and ever. He died, and then there were other kings from David's line. There was Rehoboam and then Jeroboam. They didn't last for more than a couple of hundreds of years. And then Judah and Israel was divided into two. Then the temple that Solomon had built was destroyed by foreign rulers, and it was rebuilt. And for hundreds of years, there was no sons of David who were kings over the people of Israel. But still, the believers went on a pilgrimage to the temple when it was rebuilt, and they were singing this Psalm 132 for hundreds of years, where they would be singing this verse 12, that one of David's son will surely sit in David's throne forever. And then the Jewish children who have went along with their parents on the pilgrimage would have asked them, do you really believe there is going to be another David's son who will become a king? The parents would have said, of course, God has promised, so he will surely make it happen one day. Then one day Mary gave birth to Jesus. He was one of the sons of David. Jesus grew up. He said he is the true son of David who will establish God's temple. Jesus in John chapter 2 said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it took 46 years to build the temple and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Thus in the subsequent and ultimate sense, the promise of God to David lands on the person and the work of Jesus, the greater son of David. He's the one who builds the eternal house of God. There is a sense in which that refers to his own body, the ultimate meeting place between God and humankind. So that's why Christians talk about the cross. Jesus' body was broken and blood was shed so that the way we meet with God is through Jesus. Jesus made a way for us to directly go and talk to God through Jesus. That's how the disciples at least understood it. As Peter said, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the church is God's dwelling place or his temple after Jesus' death and resurrection. Built upon the cornerstone of Christ and serving as a holy priesthood unto God, Jesus is the ultimate Son of David, building the ultimate and eternal house of God. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel were God's people. But now, after Jesus' death and resurrection, anyone from any tribe and tongue can be a believer of God. God's promises are for sure for anyone who put their trust in Jesus. It can be a Jew, it can be a Gentile from any nation. And the place where we meet doesn't necessarily need to be a place in Jerusalem where there was a temple. Jesus promised that wherever two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, he himself will be present. That is why we don't need to make a visit to Jerusalem. We can meet at Dagenham Parish Church. We can meet with God here and learn about him from his word in the Bible. Church is a testimony of God's faithfulness, that he even didn't withhold his only begotten Son, but he gave himself away to fulfill his promises. And here is another promise that God has given for us in Jesus. It is in John chapter 14, verse 3. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, that wherever I am, you also will be with me." Jesus, Son of David, who was born as a baby, who then grew and taught and performed miracles, and suffered and bled and died, and 3 days later was raised from the dead, established the early church, and ascended to heaven. This same Jesus Christ says, "I will come back to you." That too is a promise. And this promise that Jesus will come back again will also surely happen because we serve a God who fulfills all his promises. This is the promise we as believers of Christ talk about and share with our children and our grandchildren. It's sometimes not something we fully understand, but we still talk about it and we still rejoice in it, because we serve a God who fulfills all he promises. Do you believe in the promises of God? That's what gets you excited to come to church. Because one way or other, every human is on an earthly pilgrimage. Not with set festivals and feasts to Jerusalem, but to no doubt to an eternal destination, meeting King Jesus and Judge King Jesus. As you make way through life on this pilgrimage, are you putting your trust in Jesus in spite of all the uncertainties in life? As it's mentioned in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For no matter how many are the promises of God, they are all yes and amen in Christ Jesus." So we as New Testament believers can also sing the Psalm 132 on our pilgrimage, trusting in a God that fulfills all promises, that he will come back again and we will meet him when he fulfills all his promises. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who fulfills all our promises. We live in a world where there is a lot of uncertainties as we go through life. where we can be sure that your promises are secure. We can be sure that you're a God who never lies, and you're a God who fulfills all your promises. In the midst of all our uncertainties, help us to continue going, trusting in your promises. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.